One of the things that I admired the most about my pawpaw being my daddy's daddy, who lived to be actually 89 years old, one of the things I admired the most about him was that he had this uncanny ability to be able to size someone up after being around that person just for a very short period of time. Pawpaw was an excellent judge of the character of an individual, and he just had this spirit of discernment, I guess. He had this way of discerning and seeing people just after a short period and being able to give you a pretty good assessment of that individual, the character of that individual, the intentions of that individual after being with them for just a short period of time. Pawpaw was really the first person to teach me as a young person, as a young teenager, that if you want to know somebody, if you really want to know a person, don't listen so much to what they say, just watch what they do. Because if you give someone enough time, they're going to show you who they are. And words are cheap, and words are easy. But if you watch them, they'll show you who they are, and they'll let you know. And then he followed that up by saying, and when they show you who they are, believe them. Believe what they're saying with their actions, because that's really who they are. Once Pawpaw got to know someone, if he found someone to be an admirable person, if he found someone to be of, in his mind, highest praise and good character, then his highest praise for someone would be to say about them, oh, they're just old salt. They're just old salt. They're the salt of the earth. And by saying that, what Pawpaw was actually trying to say about them was that they were a genuine person. They were real. They didn't act one way in a certain setting and another way in a different setting. They were true. They were trustworthy. They were reliable. They were old salt. You knew what you were getting with them. They were always the same. They were always reliable, always trustworthy, always genuine. I thought about that, what my papa had said for years, and then I realized, you know where that phrase, salt of the earth, comes from? It comes from the Bible. It comes from Matthew. Jesus said it. Jesus said that they're the salt of the earth. It actually means, if you kind of look it up, it actually means that they're a person of great worth or a person who is a reliable person. Jesus used it in Matthew chapter 5, talking directly to his disciples, directly to these people, and these people who are going to carry on this mission, because Jesus knew he was going to be going away, and he was going to help them understand that they are the salt of the earth. Now, I mentioned last week, we were talking about the Beatitudes last week, how Jesus climbed up on this mountain and he sat down and started talking to this vast multitude of people and telling them all of these things that kind of applied to everybody in general. Anybody who would act a certain way or had certain characteristics or did certain things, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Jesus had gone through the first 12 or 10 verses at least, gone through all of these ways of being blessed. But if you notice, if you pay attention to the scripture, things sort of change in verse 11. Jesus stops talking to the multitude. He stops saying, blessed are anybody who does this, blessed in general, blessed are those who do these certain things. Now he's talking specifically to the disciples. Now he's talking very specifically to you and me, to all of us. He goes from saying, blessed are those, to saying in verse 11, blessed are you. Blessed are you when people insult you. Blessed are you when people persecute you because of me. Jesus is specifically talking to the ones who will be the church. Today, he's specifically talking to the ones who are supposed to be the church and to continue the mission that he started in this world, the disciples. Blessed are you not the multitude. You, my disciples, blessed are you when you're persecuted. Blessed are you when you're insulted. Blessed are you when these things happen to you. You and me, his disciples, you and me, the church, blessed are Chris. Blessed are you. Then he kind of puts it in perspective. If you look at verse 13, he kind of takes it and puts in perspective what he's meaning, what he's saying when he's saying this to them. He says, you, not them, you are the salt of the earth. You're the ones who are going to have to be reliable. You're the ones who are going to have to be of some value and worth in this world. You're the ones who are going to need to be genuine. You're the ones who are going to need to be real. You're the ones who are going to need to be faithful. I'm depending on you, disciples. I'm depending on you, church. I'm depending on you for the sake of the mission. I'm depending on you. You have to be the salt of the earth. And then he says, well, here's why that's important. If you look at the rest of verse 13, he says, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, here's a brief chemistry lesson. A brief chemistry lesson. Anybody salt their food? Sure you do. What does it do for it? Makes it taste pretty good, doesn't it? It helps. It brings out the flavor in it, doesn't it? Sure, we all do that. Salt is this thing called sodium chloride. That's just table salt. But here's the interesting thing about sodium chloride. And we could go through all the uses and all the influences of salt and all the ways it was used throughout the scriptures, but we don't have time to go through all of that. That's not really the point. The point is that sodium chloride, salt, can only be salt. It can't not be salt. It's either salt or it's not. It can't be pepper. It can't be ketchup. It can't be oregano. It can't be any other kind of condiment that you would put on your food. If you have one molecule of sodium chloride, guess what you've got? Salt. Salt is salt is salt is salt. And it can only be salt. It can't be a little bit salt. It can't be kind of salt. It is salt. It's always salt. And it's always going to have an influence as salt. And it can't be salt now and not be salt for a while and then be salt again. That's not how salt works. Salt is salt. So let's take that, what Jesus is saying here, and let's plug it into the church. Let's plug it into the mission of Christ in this world. In the context that Jesus is talking about, we are the disciples, you and me. We're the disciples called to carry on the mission, but in order to do that, guess what? We've got to always be salt. We can't not be salt and then go back to being salt. We've got to be salt every day. We've got to be the salt of the earth. Our influence in this world has to be reliable. Our influence in this world has to have some worth. In this world, our influence in this world has to be real. It has to be genuine. It can't be made up. It can't be contrived. It can't be an influence that we do in a certain number of people in a group and not do in another certain number of people in a group. It has to be consistent. We can't only be salt when we want to be salt or in certain situations of salt. We can't start and stop being salt. Now, what this does is this strikes at the heart of the mission of the church, the heart of the mission of First Baptist Church in Graham. If you think that this world is kind of spiraling downward, if you think this world is getting just a little darker every day in some ways, you know, we want to blame the politicians and blame the policies and blame the public opinion polls, but we can't do that. We want to blame Netflix or blame the public schools or blame social media for these things. That's not what's causing the problem. You know what's causing the problem? What's causing the problem is because that the church has progressively become more and more just like the world. It's hard to tell the difference anymore sometimes. We're supposed to be this difference, this notice in the world, this obvious in this world. But sometimes the church is sort of fading into the background of our world and the things that are going on in our world, and the church is losing its relevance. The church is losing her saltiness. Slowly but surely, the molecules are falling away, and our saltiness is going away. And when we do something like we did this morning, when we come to this amazing, amazing table that we get to come to, we come to this pivotal point of our faith every time we do that, that pivotal point where Jesus says to us, remember what I taught you, remember the things I said and did, remember those things, but this is a pivotal point, disciples. Be salt. Be faithful. Today, tomorrow, the next day, when it's not even convenient, be my disciples. Be salt in this world. Sometimes I think God's sitting there thinking, man, the church needs a dash of salt. Can somebody please pass the salt to the church? Because I can't tell the difference between the church and the world anymore in some cases. The church is supposed to be something that's just absolutely clearly different from the world. The teachings of Christ and the teachings of the scriptures are totally contrary to what the world teaches is the way to live and the way to go about your life and the things you should do in your life and the ways you should treat other people and the ways you should love other people and the ways you should not talk about other people behind their backs and the ways you should care for people. There's teachings that are totally different from the world's teachings. We should be noticed. The world should be looking and looking at the church to see what the church is doing. But instead, the church is looking at the world and seeing what the world's doing. That's not being salt. We've come to the table to be reminded of what Christ did. We've come to the table to be reminded that today you're the salt of the earth. And Jesus is dependent on it. The mission of the church is depending on it. The continuation of people coming to know who Jesus Christ is in their lives is depending on it. And if we're salt today and not salt tomorrow and try to be salt the next day, we might as well forget it. We're just going to be thrown down and trampled underfoot. We're useless to Christ in that way. Let's be salt. Let's let our mission be to be salt of the earth, reliable, trustworthy, of great worth, always there, always the same, no masks, nothing, but people who follow Jesus Christ with their lives with a conviction that this is how I'm going to live my life because I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's being the salt of the earth. Let's bow and have a prayer together. Father, thank you so much for this image, this understanding of what it means to be salt in this world. Forgive your church, God. Forgive your church for the ways that we've walked away from being that difference, that we've almost run scared with our tails between our legs, worried about how the world might persecute us, worried about what the world might think. Help us to remember that we're blessed. You disciples, you're blessed when you are persecuted. You're blessed when people don't understand. You're blessed when people don't get it. You're blessed when people are blinded because they don't have faith in Christ. May we be your salt, God. May you speak to every heart in this place today, to every heart listening by radio, that our hearts might be changed and us recognize the power that we have through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit in us, to change the world, to influence everything, because we're salt. Thank you, Father. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.